Did you know you can save money with the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, I was surprised too. Deals every day right at your fingertips. I love a good deal, but the McDonald's app takes gaming the system to a whole new level. Just the other day, I treated myself to a 10-piece chicken nugget for only a dollar. Yeah, you heard that right. Just $1. All you have to do is order in the app. And get this. You can grab that deal once a week through December 2nd. The first time I discovered the deals in the app, I was honestly shook. I had to tell my whole group chat about it, and now we're always comparing who got the best app deal of the week. Plus, ordering ahead, total game changer, especially when I need a quick lunch or a treat after a long day. So why wait? Save money every day with the McDonald's app. Download it, get those deals, and treat yourself. You deserve it. Valid through December 2nd, 2024 at participating McDonald's. Offer valid one time per week. Excludes delivery. You must opt into rewards. So go check out McDonald's deals.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. Here we got a new one for you guys, the introduction of Frank Race. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out the archives for over 300 episodes. And as always, if you want to reach out, please check out the descriptions for links on how to do that. And then also, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. Things were changed during the war. The face of the earth was altered, and the people of the earth changed. Before the war, Frank Race was an attorney, but he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. And when it was over, his former life was over too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race.
New York in the spring, just after a rain, with the sun sneaking a look at you now and then. Everything glistened, particularly the girls in those transparent raincoats. I was walking right alongside one of them, a blonde who was putting ideas in my head when...
Mr. Race, Race! Frank Race! Hey!
It was Mark Donovan, coming in fast, as usual. I crawled into his cab, a vehicle that looked as though it must have gone through the Battle of the Bulge.
I've been looking all over for you. Call company apartment from Intercontinental Maritime Underwriters. A guy named Chalmers Latham.
An interesting piece of news. Start beating those signals, Mark. A guy named Chalmers Latham. I remembered him from the Rota Gebures. First family, good-looking, shoots golf along with the pros. Frank Merriwell in business. He drew salary as an executive vice president in charge of claims. And at the moment, he wasn't happy.
I don't believe we've met before, Race.
I don't believe so.
I heard of you through McCormick, our chief adjuster. Attorney, aren't you?
That's right.
The OSS during the war, quite a lot of foreign service, decorated several times.
You've got me.
Might I ask why you prefer not to practice your profession?
Well, I got fidgety in courtrooms. It's a handicap, irritates the judges.
I'd like to point out, Race, that the function of this office is to adjust claims, not to investigate them.
But you've had one come along that looks fuzzy.
Not one, two. Two freighters operated by the same firm. A claim in each case is for total loss.
How did they go?
Overdue and presumed lost. Frankly, they just disappeared without traces. Ship, cargo, and crew.
Well, sounds like an interesting assignment.
As I just mentioned, our function is to adjust claims and, well...
You don't want to make a fuss.
You understand. Now, the claims may turn out to be perfectly legitimate. So I suggest that, on the surface, you make it apparent that you're not working for us. Pardon me, Lord. Yes? I'll put Miss Deneen on. No, wait a second. I'll talk to her out there. Excuse me a minute, Race.
They're quite all right, it took at least 15 minutes. And when he came back, he kept moving around, smoking rapidly.
Are you free this evening, Race?
I could be.
I'd like to take you to Sally Deneen's for dinner.
Informal or white tie?
White tie. I'll pick you up at 8.
I left Latham's office and headed for the elevator, but I never quite got to it. The interception came in the shape of a paunchy personality with a pair of eyes that reminded you of grapes. Peeled grapes. His face was round and without guile, and he spoke with the voice of a choir boy.
We're taking the stairs.
Well, I'm not seeking exercise. You know, that's a long way down.
I said we're taking the stairs. You go moving your flippers and you'll pick up a crop of bruises.
I got the feeling I'd pick up more than that. Those orbs told me he'd been smoking a brand they don't advertise. We took the stairs.
Stay close to the building. And remember, one phony move and I'll plant a slug in you.
There were several cabs around, but no sign of Mark Donovan. We walked about four blocks to finally turn into the short blind alley, a loading dock. On hand were a couple of citizens who'd been fair game for any dragnet. One of them was an ordinary hood, but the other... Well, you remember the way a bootlegger used to dress when business was good? Slouch hat, double-breasted Chesterfield.
Hello, Race. My name's Jacqueline. Eddie Jacqueline.
Should that make me happy?
I'm not here to stall around. What'll you take to turn down that job for Intercontinental?
I might be able to answer that better if I knew what they intended to pay me.
Now you're doing the stalling.
Like I told you, Eddie, you don't have to offer him no dough. Just let me push him around a little.
Like this? Straight lines! I heard you were pretty handy with that commando stuff.
Well, he could have been friendlier about things. Walked me several blocks without uttering a civil word.
I try to be friendly with people I do business with.
You may as well get it straight, Jacqueline. I'm not doing business.
I had an idea you'd say that. So I made plans.
With a 45 in your hand. I respect you.
Nemo, flag us a cab. All right, Race. Drift toward the street.
Jackman gave the cabbie an east side address and we lurched away. Our flying start made me glance at the driver. I had to swallow a grunt when I saw it was Mark. His eye in the mirror caught mine and I got set for his play. And I wasn't long in coming. Getting a clear stretch ahead, he gunned the cab to about 50, then slapped on the brakes. I'd braced myself, and when Jacqueline and Nemo went forward, I grabbed both of them behind the head and pushed hard.
Get him outside, Frank!
Get out, Jacqueline!
On your head, Frank, on your head!
I was conscious of a sickening splash, and we all sprawled on the pavement. Nemo and I came up together, and I went at him with the sharp edges of my hands. He took two or three and then broke away into camp.
Come on, Race, let's get out!
Fine fair you turn out to be. Wait for me, says the man. That is the last I see of you.
Well, if you've been watching, you'd have seen me come out of that building with a gun barrel bruising my backbone.
It took 5 minutes, maybe, to snag me a cup of coffee.
How much coffee do you drink in a day?
This is only my ninth cup. Since noon, it is. Why don't you have some more?
Mark, do you know about a family named Deneen?
Oh, the big shots. Yeah, I know. Paul Moran once or twice. There is a girl that's a pip.
Do they own ships?
That's right, sure. The girl and her brother had a big court fight in 44. Hit all the headlines. Some kind of battle about running a company.
No, we weren't reading very many newspapers in 44.
What is cooking on all this, anyway?
Dinner. They're home this evening. On the way over, Latham had briefed me on the family, but at that, I wasn't quite prepared for the militant aunt who presided over the household. Miss Deneen's aunt, Carrie Farrell, must have been about 45. Her complexion had the look of freshly stirred oatmeal. She spoke in tones that seemed to be directed at someone behind you, about 50 feet behind you. Carrie's Mr. Farrell always seemed to be smiling, apologetically, as though he felt himself to be a traitor to his sex because of being her husband.
Race? Well, that's an odd name, isn't it? Has anyone ever told you that the race doesn't always go to the fleetest?
I'm afraid that doesn't quite make sense, Carrie.
Does to me. I'm sure it does to Mr. Race. Come along. Sally isn't here yet, but we won't wait for her.
We were dabbling with a chocolate souffle, and I was wondering why Latham had bothered to set this up when she appeared in the doorway. You know the loveliness of some woman affects you gently, like the sampling of fine wine. With Sally Deneen, it reached out and took you by the lapels and said, "Look at me." She wasn't a blonde. She didn't need to be, not with that coloring, not with that thick, dusky hair. Her eyes were large and sultry. When they settled on me, I wasn't conscious of where I was.
Hi, I'm late, everybody. Hello, Chalmers. What have you been doing lately?
Fretting about your ships.
Oh, bother the ships.
Yeah, that simply amazes me, the way you all accept the situation so resignedly.
What else can we do, Chalmers? None of us here knows a thing about ships.
Bob does, or should. By the way, Sally, where is your brother? I thought he'd be here tonight.
With me here? Don't be silly, darling.
Well, I wanted to see him because... Well, I'm going to be frank with you. I hate to have to do it, but I'm forced to investigate the loss of those two vessels.
What?
And we'll keep it as quiet as possible.
And I gather that Mr. Race will do the investigating.
Yes.
Well, whatever you think best, darling. As Uncle Matt said, we know very little about shipping.
Nice dinner, Latham. I enjoyed it.
What did you think of them?
Interesting people. Do they share ownership of the company?
Sally and Auntie and Brother Bob. Farrell is in only to the extent of marriage.
How are they financially?
I'm not sure. You see, Race, I have an emotional interest in their affairs.
I caught them.
How soon can you leave for San Francisco?
That's where the ships are?
Most of them.
Well, I'll be phoning for a reservation while I change for clothes.
Good. And, Race, it'll be $1,000 bonus if you make good use of that discretion of yours.
Frisco and fog. According to all reports, they're like bread and butter, particularly in spring. So the sun was a newly minted gold piece. The only cloudiness visible was in my taxi driver's face as the car in front of us made a left turn from the right-hand lane. The cabby dropped me at a hotel that matched the weather, the Mark Hopkins. And while I was smudging the register, I heard myself being paged. I signaled bellhop and led me to the bar. Sally was there.
Surprised, Mr. Race?
Frankly, yes.
What will you have to drink?
A bourbon and soda, please.
Since you'd like to know, I wheedled your destination out of town with
you. What did you use to get out of here? A locket?
Well, I imagine I caught an earlier plane. Trust I don't look travel-worn.
You look... Well, if you don't know how you look, you're not the girl I think you are.
As a compliment, I'm afraid that one is tinged with cynicism.
No, I'm not being cynical. I may get that way later, but I'm not now.
I like you, Race. You mind?
What about Latham?
Will you believe me?
If you level.
I'm leveling you. Chalmers doesn't know I'm not interested. It isn't my fault.
That's good enough for me. Let's drink to the new cities. New acquaintances.
Let's drink to us.
I spent the next couple of days kicking around and asking questions about missing ships. And I drew a lot of blanks. Then I ran into Sally again, at night, in the lobby of the hotel.
Tell me, Race, have you been avoiding me?
I've been circulating around. That's the way I earn a living.
Aunt Carrie and Uncle Matt flew out. I'm having dinner with them. Why don't you join us?
Here at the hotel?
No. Well, we have a house out here that we keep open the year round. In Francisco. How about dinner?
Oh, well, I'll enjoy that. But I'm afraid I'll be a little late. See, there's a ship in the harbor I want to have a look at. The Hackensack Victory.
Oh, that's one of ours.
I know. Maybe you'd like to go along.
Couldn't we make it tomorrow?
Let's make it tonight. Think of what it'll do for your appetite.
You're a very persistent man.
The Hackensack Victory is an exact counterpart of the two ships that disappeared. You don't have to come if you don't want to.
I'll come.
We found the Hackensack Victory with the gangplank down. When we reached the deck, I led Sally aft to a cabin door that bore a brass plate, identifying the quarters as belonging to the master.
The captain may not like this.
Don't happen to know him, do you?
To the best of my knowledge, I've never even seen him.
Now, what do you want?
Well, we just thought we'd like to have a look around.
Now, we've got no time for sightseers.
Captain, this is Miss Sally Deneen, one of the owners.
Now, how would I know that?
Maybe you'd like to see him drive this.
I'm not interested. I'm sorry, but you'll have to go ashore.
I think we better do that, Race. He's perfectly within his rights.
All right, Sally. If you say so.
Oh, I'm starved. Wonder how far we'll have to walk to find a cab.
You're starved and I'm curious.
What about?
The world is full of sounds. Mostly words. Your mind is watching while your ears listen. Surprising what people will tell you without intending to.
Have I told you anything, Ray? Without intending to?
You didn't want me aboard that ship.
Well, that's ridiculous.
You know, there's something funny about it. About the master's cabin. They've been redecorating it, did you notice it? All that cluster of wood shavings on the floor and the smell of paint. Maybe you didn't notice.
Not particularly.
They've been doing something to the ceiling beams. Now, why would they do that?
Lace, why don't you forget your job? Right.
She stopped as she said this. So I stopped, too. I reached out, took her by the shoulders. I didn't have to do anything else. Her arms went around my neck, and for a few minutes I did no thinking whatsoever. When we broke it up, Sally seemed a little shaky herself.
Nice, right?
I thought so, too.
Shall we have that dinner now?
If you don't mind, I'll pass it up for now.
And in the meantime?
I'm going back on that vessel.
We'll return to the adventures of Frank Race in just about 1 minute. Now, back to the adventures of Frank Race.
There was something wrong with the Hackensack Victory. I was sure of that. And I couldn't drop the feeling that Sally Deneen was in on it. The gangplank of the ship was up, so I picked the mooring line and managed a hand-over-hand passage that put me aboard. No one seemed to be around, but the master's cabin was unlocked, and I pushed my way in. It was the same lad. He started to be trucking it again until he glimpsed the Smith & Wesson in my hand.
Well, what do you want now?
Just a little talk. Why don't you sit down? Mm-hmm. First, I'd like to know why the remodeling job, the beam up there.
I don't know what you mean.
That beam has just been cased with another piece of wood. Very skillfully, too. Mm-hmm.
Why would anyone want to do that?
This vessel carries a serial number. It's to be found on her engines, on her compass, on her keel. It's usually carved into the main beam of the master's cabin.
Who'd want to be changing all that?
I thought maybe you'd like to tell me.
Not saying a word about anything.
Maybe you'll talk at police headquarters. Put on your coat.
You can't arrest me. Where's your authority?
In my hand. Get that coat on. I was right. I had no authority. But somehow I was going to get him inside a police precinct. He left the cabinet, went to the waist. We got halfway down the gangplank.
That's you, Kennedy?
Yeah, but watch out for this fellow. He's hijacking me.
Well, well, if it isn't Race. Going somewhere, Race?
They were at the foot of the gangway, all of them. Jacqueline, Grape Eyes, and Nemo.
Take it carefully. He's got a gun on my side.
We got rods, too. Three of them. Why don't you try coming by, Race?
Listen, Jacqueline. Listen carefully. I'm coming down with Kennedy in front of me. And you lads are going to back away to the left. Make any bad moves and I start blasting. I've forgotten the Grape Eyes wasn't exactly the rational type. I never cared for high dives, but it was either Jacqueline or a jackknife. I must have been a sad sight parading around with that oil slick all over me. But I paraded. Police headquarters, I wrote a description of Captain Kennedy and swore out a warrant for his arrest. Then I went to the hotel and scrubbed myself for about an hour and crawled into bed. I slept hard until... Yes?
Good afternoon.
Oh, hello, you. I'm sorry about last night. Adventure reared its delaying head.
Oh, it's forgiven. As a matter of fact, we're getting together tonight. Aunt Carrie, Uncle Mac, you and I. You aren't too busy.
Ooh. Is this for dinner?
In your honor. The address is 122 Roland Lane.
St. Francis Wood?
That's it.
I'll be there scrubbed and combed. ...122 Roland Lane turned out to be an attractive sort of place. Monterey style. Not unusually large. When I got inside, I was provided with the surprise of finding Chalmers Latham on hand. He drew me to one side.
Anything to report?
First you told me. Did Sally Deneen and her brother ever patch up that disagreement they had a few years ago?
No. No, they never patched it up.
Where is the brother?
Haven't any idea.
Does anyone have any idea?
What are you getting at?
If the brother were to die, would Sally come into any money?
To the best of my knowledge, his will cuts her off with a customary dollar. There's Carrie and Matt. I'll talk to you later.
Well, what have you been doing with yourself, Mr. Ace?
Suppose I could say I've been looking for victory ships.
Oh? Are there a lot of them?
Good heavens, my dear. There were hundreds of them built during the war. And many a welder lost his life working between their double hulls.
Some of them weren't built very well. A number of them are broken apart at sea.
And that could have happened to ours, couldn't it, Race?
Yeah.
Look pensive, Race. Did you hear me? I said you looked pensive.
Yeah, it must be this cigarette. I'm trying a new brand.
Well, come now, Race.
Or maybe it's because I just realized what happened to those two vessels.
You what?
All right, Race, let's have it.
If you own ships insured for $250,000 apiece, it's sometimes profitable to collect that insurance, isn't it?
Quite profitable.
But it would be more profitable if you could collect the insurance and still have the ships, wouldn't it? More profitable and less open to detection.
What are you driving at?
Victory ships. And the fact that so many of them were built. Ships that are exact duplicates except for their registry. Some of them are worth $250,000. Others you can pick up as salvage for a few thousand.
Please come to the point, Mr. Ace.
The Hackensack Victory was originally bought for a salvage price, wasn't it?
I think so. I believe our company had it refitted.
And that happens to be my point. The Hackensack Victory was never actually rebuilt.
What?
The Hackensack Victory is really isn't the Hackensack Victory at all. It's the Jackson Victory, one of the ships you were supposed to have lost.
Why, you must be insane.
And it makes quite a picture. You have a sound vessel insured for a fat amount. You buy a battered sister ship for a couple of dimes, sink it somewhere, then transfer its identity to the valuable ship and declare the good one lost. Sweet maritime racket for somebody.
But who? Who among us would do a thing like that?
I beg your pardon, madam. There's a phone call from Strace.
It was the hotel, relaying a message from police headquarters. They picked up Kennedy and wanted me to come in and identify him. Sally had come to the phone with me, and I told her about it.
Never mind calling a cab. We'll take my car. Come on.
What could I say? We went to the car and blew out of there. Took me several minutes before I realized he was headed away from the city instead of toward it. I let out a yelp.
Just relax, Race, and everybody will be happy.
Hey, you little ninny, what are you trying to do?
I'm sorry, Race. The company's been losing money for some time. I guess that brother of mine just couldn't take it. But I care for him, Race. I care for him, even though we don't get along. I care for him too much to see him disgraced.
Hey, you little idiot, slow down.
Don't move, Race. I'll wreck us if you do.
Do what I have to do. Grab the wheel with one hand and hit her with the other. Maybe touch and go, but... Have you ever tried to stop a speeding car with an unconscious girl flopping all over him? I took time out to make sure she wasn't too badly hurt. Then I swung the bus around and headed it back. She came around pretty soon, but didn't say anything. Just sat there letting me make the plays. Police had Kennedy all right, in the hospital. But it wasn't easy to identify him. His features had been altered too much, and he was unconscious, almost dead. I left the place, and Sally and I drove slowly back to St. Francis Wood. It was pretty late by then, and the house was dark. But I went in anyway. In the dim light of the living room, I took Sally in my arms. And in spite of what I had done to her, she responded.
All right. When we care for each other the way we do, is it necessary for you to be so hard about things? Can't you work for me instead of the insurance company?
Sally, what do you think happened to the crews of those two ships?
Well, I don't know. It hadn't occurred to me.
It occurred to me. I believe they were murdered. And, Sally...
Yes?
I think your brother has been murdered, too.
Oh. I'll take it, Race.
I let her. She needed something to concentrate on after a wallop like that. Quite a lot of conversation seemed to come from the other end.
Good.
Finally, still holding the phone, Sally turned to me.
It's the police. Captain Kennedy has regained consciousness, but they don't expect it will be for long. They want to know if you have any suggestions.
Here, let me have him. Hello. See if you can get a statement from him, will you, Inspector? And keep driving at him with one name, Matthew Farrell. Keep repeating it to him, and I think you'll blow the whole thing wide open. Oh, that's funny.
What's the matter, Race?
The line seems to have gone dead.
It's been dead for several seconds, Race. I cut it just before you offered my name to the police.
Uncle Matt!
He stood there fully dressed and was gripping what seemed to be a Luger, gripping it steadily.
What made you suspicious, Race?
In New York, you said you knew nothing about shipping. Tonight, you spoke of welding double hulls. And then I imagine there's a will, isn't there? Obdenine's will, leaving his share of the company to you and your wife.
My wife had nothing to do with it.
No, I can believe that.
And you're going to have nothing to do with it. Either of you. I'm sorry, Sally.
He had a gun on me, but he was looking at Sally. It was a chance I had to take. I dove at it.
Hey!
It's all right.
Oh, he's
dead. Yes. Had to be him. Us.
Okay.
Yes, Sally. I know. Violence isn't part of your world, is it? You really don't have any courage.
We were all right until you came.
I'm sorry to disturb your sheltered little world, Sally. But hiding from things doesn't make it a better world than mine. Maybe we'd better take a rain check on each other. And give Chalmers Latham a message for me, will you? Just tell him there's no charge. This one is on me.
Thank you.
Adventures of Frank Ray, starring Tom Collins, came to you from Hollywood. The series is written and directed by Buckley Angel and Joel Murcott. The music is composed and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again this time, 1 week from today, for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Ray. This is a Bruce Ells production.
The jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things, the face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney, but he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. When it was over, his former life was over, too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race.
Up has an important effect on the whole of your day. Coming awake peacefully sets you off to a relaxed, poised beginning. So I came out of my nocturnal fog to the sound of...
Now listen, you're going to talk to him if I have to beat your brains? Oh, now look, look what you did. Just because you want to be stubborn.
Mark, for Pete's sake.
Oh, are you awake?
Am I awake? What are you trying to do, break my lease?
Well, we just want to talk to you.
You both wanted to talk to me? And somehow I have the idea that the desire isn't exactly mutual.
But this guy's in trouble, Frank, and he's a friend of mine. His name is Bob Kennedy, and he drives a hack, just like me.
It was cold outside, and all Kennedy had on for a coat was a worn army field jacket. He needed a shave, and the way he shaped up, he could have done some solid meals. His features were distorted with fear.
I've been telling him, Frank, if anybody can help him, you can. Go on, Bob, spill a story.
Oh, look, Mark, we're wasting time. I got to get out of town. It's my only chance.
Your only chance for what?
He thinks his wife is in the morgue, Grace.
Any connection with that item in yesterday's paper? An unidentified girl?
Yeah, that's it. Same description, her clothes.
The report said there was plenty of indication that she might have been murdered. How do you fit in, Bob?
Well... Would you believe me if I say I didn't do it?
Now, let me get dressed. I think we'd better go to the morgue and have a look at that girl. And on the way, you can break this down for me. He was an ex-GI, studying architecture on a BA program. His wife had been an English war bride. He told me about it as we drove.
I didn't marry into the royal family or anything like that. She worked in the factory during the war making ammunition. But she was pretty. No guy could have a better wife.
Yet you had a fight.
Yeah. We picked a great place to pull it off. A cafeteria with a million people around. She left me there. That's all I know.
Why might she have gone, Bob?
Oh, I don't know. Unless it was to look for a job.
Ah, this is it. And, I know the boys in here, so you might let me do the talking. The girl in the morgue was Bob Kennedy's wife, all right.
Oh.
She still looked pretty and young, even lying there. Bob's stricken eyes came up to meet mine, staring at me. I shrugged at the attendant, and he replaced the sheet. I think you ought to go to the police, Bob.
Oh, after that fight? You know what else? We had insurance policies on each other. Double indemnity of damage. Yeah, they were her idea. For our old age and to protect the kid. There's the big fat motive they're going to pin on me.
You have a child.
2 years old. Boy.
If money could be important to her.
Sure. Sure it could.
You'll never use a quarter of it if the court declares you guilty of murdering his mother. And hiding out now is going to look bad. You turn yourself in.
Not a chance. I haven't got a prayer, and I know it. I'm going to say thanks and get lost.
Mark's cab stood at the curb. Mark shot me a warning look as I came out. There's reason for his attitude. On the sidewalk waited a couple of gentlemen who might have been war dealers just for getting out the boat. The smaller of the pair intercepted me at the bottom of the steps.
You're Frank Race, ain't you?
That's right. You?
What's the idea of casing them all?
Maybe I'll live here.
You don't, but you might. What's the story?
Sorry. Saving that for my biography.
Yeah? Well, we'll see how long you save it. Okay, get in the cab.
He had his argument in his hand. A snub-nosed automatic. So I shrugged and moved toward the taxi. At the same time, Mark slid across the seat and stepped out as though to open the door for us. And immediately pinwheeled into action with a 14-inch end wrench.
Take that!
Hey,
back.
Where are you?
What's it, Mark?
Hey, miss me.
Get out of the city! It is washed up as of now.
And you too, Marlowe.
Oh, brother, that wraps him up. Come on, Frank, let's get out of here before that shot brings the boys in blue.
Yeah, as soon as I unload this gun.
What's the story on that Milo personality? Seem to know him.
Milo Morgan? He belongs to Larry Carmichael, the racket force. Why?
Larry Carmichael. Good lad, Marcus. You steered me into the lead I've been looking for. I knew Larry Carmichael. Big fellow with blonde curly hair that was going gray. Found him in his nightclub office practicing billiard shots.
Hey, what's the pitch on you anyway? You come in here for the first time in a year and all you do is ask questions.
Too nosy?
I don't like questions. You ought to know that.
Ever hear of a girl called Faye Kennedy?
I know lots of people.
I saw her a little while ago. On a slab in the morgue.
Go on out to the bar. Have yourself a drink. I sell good liquor.
But you don't want to talk about the Kennedy girl.
I gave a party. I had lots of guests. Your dame was there. I never knew it. And if you keep playing cop, I'm going to get sore.
I left him as he muffed his third shot. It wasn't like him. It was still early in the evening, but several people were sitting far. As I went by, a voice tagged me.
Hey, sir, Frank. It's martini time.
Well, Larry Carmichael Jr. You've grown up.
Sit down, Ray. This is Bunny Covington.
Hello, Ray.
Dusky hair and blue eyes are always tough on a man. When they go with everything else this girl had to offer, you wanted to sit down. Slowly. Money Chovington, number one glamour debt of the season. Top of the bottle for looks, poise, or money.
Quit staring, Ray. She's going to stay a while. What have you been doing?
I just finished chatting with your father.
How'd you find him?
His billiard game is off. His disposition's off with it.
If he's playing billiards, he's feeling happier than he did yesterday. Might be a good time for me to interview him. Stay put, children. I'll be back.
So the kid has made the big league.
Meaning me?
According to the Rotos, you're an ultra-exclusive package.
People talk about you, too.
Yeah, I'm not as pretty, though.
Well, you make an impression. I understand you enjoy getting into trouble.
Kids like Larry are inclined to exaggerate.
Is that what you're doing now? Getting into trouble?
You're talking about this very moment, I'd say the answer was,
yeah. I'm going to enjoy you, Ray. How would you like to take me somewhere else? I'm in the mood to patronize several spots tonight.
What about young Larry?
Oh, he's a charming boy. But I'm not wearing fraternity pins this season.
Well, then, I must make a phone call first.
Well, go ahead and make it. And to ease your conscience, I'll say goodbye to Larry Jr.
My call was to the Homicide Bureau, a friend by the name of Lieutenant Vander. I asked him if the girl in the morgue had been identified.
Sure, capable of
paying. How's it going, the book, Homicide?
She was found alongside the highway, dead, blown head. How are you?
Picked up anyone yet?
What's your interest in this, Frank?
Just curiosity.
You and your curiosity.
Still like to know if you've made an arrest.
Well, we brought in the girl's husband about an hour ago.
You calling it open and shut?
Oh, no, not this early. But the guy was skipping town when
we took... I don't think he did.
Does that mean you know something, Frank?
I'll get you posted, Lieutenant.
Listen, Frank.
You ready to go now?
I'll have to call a cab.
Oh, we can use my car.
What about Larry Jr.?
Still talking money with his dad. The child has to live, you know.
We went out to the parking lot and they brought her car around. I had to repress an exclamation when I saw it. Those export jobs they're sending out of Europe these days. The tune of about $7,000.
I'm flattered that you like it, Ray. Jump in and drive.
I must think you'd want an exclusive on that.
Oh, not I, darling. My whim runs to handsome chauffeurs. Three nightclubs in a row adds up to a lot of nightclubs, even for me. How about going into that drive-in for hamburgers?
We're in.
Oh, it's dark.
Must be the exercise. Yeah, we won't need men in this. Make it to hamburgers and fries and coffee.
Oh, this is nice. But you're not going to take me right home, Ray. I'm determined to make a night of it. This is the first time in a week that I haven't been bored.
Poor little rich girl.
Tell me something, Ray.
If I can.
What do I have to do to get you to take me seriously?
You might tell me something about yourself.
Ask me anything.
How long have you been running around with young Larry?
Oh, a few days. Just for laughs.
Were you at the Carmichael party the night before last?
As a matter of fact, I was. Why?
There was a girl at that party who was found dead the next day. The police think she was murdered.
You're talking about the girl the police identified today?
That's right. Faye Kennedy.
Well, how do you tie her in with the party, Ray? The paper said something about the body being found on some highway.
Well, move around, ask a few questions, listen to a few answers. Good answer.
That girl, are you working on the case?
Not professionally. I'm just trying to help someone out of a jam.
Would I be helping someone out of a jam if I told you I saw that girl at the party?
Keep dreaming.
She was one of the extra girls hired as a maid. I noticed her when I heard her talk. That English accent. I liked her. I tried to engage her to work for me.
What happened?
She didn't want a steady job.
You know what happened to her later?
Yes, I do. It was almost morning when I talked to her about working for me. Most of the guests had left, and she couldn't get a cab. So Larry loaned her one of the house cars, a Ford coupe.
And she left by herself? All alone? You sure of that?
Well, yes, I'm positive. I watched her drive away. What's the matter? Don't you like my information?
I'm thinking what it probably means for her husband. Trial and conviction for murder.
We'll return to the adventures of Frank Race in just about 1 minute. back to the adventures of Frank Race.
I've had cases that have been failures, plenty of them. But when a kid has been accused of murdering his wife, the mother of his son, something tells you he's innocent, you don't like the thought of failure. So I called it homicide and interrupted Lieutenant Vander doing some desk work.
Sit down, Frank. What can I do for you?
I'd just like to get a look at Faye Kennedy's effects.
Oh, I happen to have them right here. Look all you like. As compact, lipstick, 4 pennies, and the photograph of a small boy.
That all?
That's the business.
Did you know that she worked as a maid?
Yeah, we know. She only worked a few days at a time. But I guess she was looking for a regular job because she just applied for a Social Security card.
Hmm.
Now it's your turn, Frank. What do you know about her?
Nothing worthwhile yet. When I do, I'll bring it to you. Where are they holding the child?
Juvenile hall. Fine.
I'd like to see him.
Use a cab?
A good man, that's against the law. You know it.
Stop making with a funny, Frank. Come on, get in here and I'll give you a lift.
I was going over to Juvenile Hall to see Bob Kennedy's kid. What were you doing around here?
I was going to see if I'd get a pass to go in and see Bob. I'll make it later.
Brief me on something, Mark.
Sorry.
What do you know about Larry Carmichael, Jr.?
That crazy kid. Always getting into jams.
What kind of jam?
Dames, mostly. They're always taking them for dough. I guess that's why the old man tightened up on a bank loan. Why?
I've sort of had him on the mind. What about Larry Sr.? Has he ever been arrested?
Oh, yeah. But they never proved nothing against him. He was indicted by the grand jury about 8 years ago, but he beats the rap.
What was he charged with?
They hooked him as head of a ring that had been clouting hot shorts.
Doing what?
Clouting hot shorts. And all stealing cars.
Didn't they have enough on him?
They were too clever. By the time he got finished repainting them and everything, even the insurance companies couldn't identify him.
Where did he do all this painting and changing?
Garage he's got. Or on State Street.
Is he still having
it? Yeah, but it's strictly legit now.
Just the same, I think I'll postpone my trip to Juvenile Hall for a while. Drop me off and you can go and visit Bob Kennedy.
Okay. Where you want it? Where you going now?
To pay another call on Larry Carmichael, Sr.
Race, you back again?
Oh, I just thought you might want to talk to me now.
I might. Care for a drink?
You can owe me one.
Hey, I thought you and me were friends.
Well, you are. Aren't we?
The way you mauled a couple of my boys yesterday.
Oh, come on. They wanted to prod me around with pistols.
No, they thought you were somebody else.
They knew him.
I still think they made a mistake.
Why don't you call him in here? You can ask him a few questions.
Well, they're not around right now.
Why were they casing the morgue, Larry?
Would you believe me if I told you I didn't know?
Come on. Go ahead and tell me.
Who are you working for, Frank? What are you so busy about?
Now you're making sounds that don't mean anything. You know the story.
Kennedy girl?
Didn't want to talk about it yesterday.
I didn't know I was going to have you breathing down the back of my neck. What are you trying to prove?
I don't want to see your husband go to the block for something he didn't do.
You got ideas? I'm the one that tripped him up, huh?
Did you, Larry?
Look, Race, I thought you worked for insurance companies.
That's right.
Well, go back to work for them. You'll be happier.
Tell me something, Larry. You own a big garage, don't you? One of those open all-night affairs?
I own a service station. So what?
Oh, just a casual question. They want to sell you some advertising one of these days.
What are you talking about?
If it's about me, I want to hear all of it. Hello, Race.
Hello, Bunny.
Going somewhere?
As usual.
Take me?
I don't hang around here, baby.
Sorry, Larry. I need some fresh air. How about it, Ray? I've got your favorite car outside.
It won't be exciting.
Let me decide that. Where are we going?
To see a little kid. He was tiny and tow-headed. Looked as though he'd usually have a cute, ready grin. But there was evidence that he'd been crying. Crying a lot. And when I lifted him, I caught a soft, tired sob deep in his throat. I was told he'd be kept there until the disposition of his father had been decided, either by the police or by the court. Later, when Money Covington and I got outside, there seemed to be more clouds in the sky than when we'd gone in. More bleakness to the day.
What did they call him, Ray? I didn't get it.
Kimmy. His first name's Cameron. Let's go.
What'll happen to him? His father's convicted.
I'm not sure.
Go ahead, you drive. They'll probably put him up for adoption, won't they?
Oh, something like that. Whatever happens, it's going to be rough on him.
How are you doing on this case?
So far, I've walked up a lot of blind alleys. I keep getting the feeling that I'm overlooking something. Something I've already seen.
Well, what about the police? Can't they help?
Well, they've got the husband. No, I don't know. Maybe they're right, but...
But you'll keep trying.
That's right. Incidentally, this Greyhound of yours is running low on gas.
Oh, well, there's a station across the street.
I know. Let's go to that garage where Larry Carmichael. Can't help being curious about that Ford coupe. The service station was one of Larry Carmichael's pet enterprises, one of those super service subdivisions that peddle everything from windshield wipers to body and fender work. It was toward the body and fender building that I made my inquisitive way while the car took time off the gas and Bunny took time off pretty up. No activity going on, but the dent and scratch emporium was open, so I prowled in. I've been peering around for about 5 minutes and someone switched on a light. It was one of those uniformed private police boys. And the moment I caught his malevolent grin, I knew something ugly had turned up. While I was thinking this, he leveled a .38 at me.
I dove behind a Buick station wagon, crawled as far as the rear wheels of a Dodge truck where I jumped up and tore for an open door at the far end.
What's the matter, Ray?
Private, get up here.
Oh, whatever happened?
Someone sent me up for a pigeon.
Almost won Cupid on.
Oh, it's never a dull moment with you, Ray. Should we drop in somewhere for a drink?
It sounds enticing, but on the way I'd like to patronize the first public telephone we see.
More cops and robbers?
Yeah, getting shot at seemed to have blown the fog from my brain. I just caught the idea that might wrap up this package.
Good. Then maybe you'll have a little time for thinking about me.
I spent 45 minutes in one of those sidewalk phone booths. I called Vander of Homicide and asked him to relay a message to Bob Kennedy in his cell. When Vander called back with the answer, I talked to him into securing another item of information from the motor vehicle. When I got back to Bunny, everything finally jailed.
You know, I've discovered what makes you so attractive to me, Ray. It's because I'm always having to wait for you. Do you know that you're the first person I've ever waited for in my life?
Drive on, Duchess.
Now, you take the wheel.
You know, I've been thinking about that.
About what?
The fact that you never want to drive.
Well, I told you the reason. I like handsome chauffeurs.
Want me to tell you the real reason?
Go ahead.
Your driver's license has been revoked. Too many convictions for speeding, for reckless driving.
All right, so I'm a good little girl. I let others drive for me.
You drove the other night, though. You drove and you had an accident with this car.
Race, you're upset. You haven't been getting enough sleep.
You bought the car new, didn't you, Duchess? How long have you had it?
6 weeks.
Well, the front fenders have been refinished. I can tell because the rubber fittings are coated with paint. That's always the tip-off to a repaint job.
Do you read palms, too, Race?
It all ties in with what happened to Faye Kennedy. You see, when you offered her that maid's job, she didn't turn you down. She accepted it. She'd been looking for a job, so you took her home with you when you left the party. Which would have been all right, except that on the way, you couldn't resist showing off the speed of this rocket. You ran it off the road into some brush. You didn't hurt yourself, and the car was still drivable. But you fractured that girl's skull. So you pushed her out and left her there, alongside the road. Because you knew that with your record, you'd face a charge of manslaughter.
Darling, you are upset. Let's go and have that drink.
Sorry, Duchess. No drinks.
Oh, Race, you can't really believe all this. Oh, I admit I cracked up the car, but the rest of it... Oh, you're letting your imagination run away with you.
No. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it because you lied. You lied when you said you saw that girl drive a Ford away from the party.
I did see her, Race. I can prove it.
No, Duchess. Faye Kennedy was born in England, into a poor family. Poor families, they don't have cars. She didn't have a driver's license either, because she never learned how to drive a car.
All right, Race. You've put it together. But you're not going to be difficult about it, are you? After all, manslaughter isn't murder.
You'd have turned it into murder. You'd have let that girl's husband go to the chair.
Oh, they wouldn't have given him the chair, Rafe. Life imprisonment, maybe, not the chair.
Just life imprisonment. You have no trouble being casual with other people's lives, do you, Duchess? Tell me, how much did you have to pay Larry's private cop to shoot me for a trespasser?
Rafe, I was in a jam. Rafe, give me a chance. Give me a chance to show you my real inner feeling for you.
I had a look at your inner feeling, Duchess, when we saw that baby. You were about as sympathetic as a pole axe.
Where are we going, Rafe?
Center Street, Homicide Bureau. Last year, debutante, you came out. This year, you're going in.
Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins, came to you from Hollywood. The series is written and directed by Joel Murcott and Buckley Angel. The music is composed and played by Ivan Ditmars. Be sure to be with us again this time, 1 week from today, for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.